welcome in to another great edition of Sports Club. Of course, that makes me your amazing host, Jeremy the Impact York. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday to everybody. We promise you we're trying to do the show earlier in the week. Had some stuff come up, as always. But we still come to you each and every week right here from Impact Media Studio West. Today's episode is called Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. And anybody that knows anything about what horseshoes and hand grenades mean, you probably kind of figure out where we're going with this. Of course, we're going to talk NFL. I've got something about, you know what? Actually, I'm going to start with the NFL. Then I'll get into picks. Then I'm going to finish up talking some Falcons. And later on tonight in the debut episode, we will have board check where we will talk some hockey. You know, hockey started just the last night for you, for all you hockey fans like myself. And we'll get a lot more into that during that show. Some of you have texted to see if I was doing that. Yes, we are still doing that this year. It will debut episode will be tonight for the season, and we will get into some more stuff in the next few weeks as far as that. But now let's start. I got a little comment about every football score. So let's get into that, because then we're going to get into a couple NFL notes. And but I really want to talk Falcons, because I think you guys know where I'm going with this. Let's start with the Thursday night game. Philadelphia was able to pick up the victory 34-27 over the Green Bay Packers. It was a very, very good game. I told everybody when 80% or more pick one side like they did with Green Bay, I went for my pick 'em league and I went for Philly. It's one of the better pickups I did. Hopefully you guys did as well. We do it for fun if you guys are in a spot where you can do it. Otherwise, good for you guys. Maybe our picks are helping you. And maybe they're not. But either way. The thing I really liked about this is the front lines, the defensive and offensive line for Philly, which has been their bread and butter, the thing that really drives this team. They just out-dueled Aaron Rodgers' big performance, because, you know, a lot of times a team loses and everybody says, oh, well, clearly Aaron Rodgers had a bad day because Green Bay lost. No, go back and look at his lines. Aaron Rodgers played one of the best games he's had in a good while. It's just his team got beat up front on the lines, and Philly was able to pick up the victory. That could be an interesting tiebreaker down the road in the NFC if it comes down to it. And it could. Of course, you had the New York Football Giants 24-3 over the Washington Redskins. Haskins came in about midway through the game. But the more important story is Daniel Jones still prevails, and prevails big. He had a pretty good day. He is making it for a lot of people. They're like, oh, well, clearly this is it's because Daniel Jones needed to be in over Eli. No, Eli was actually having a pretty decent game too. The only difference is he is able to pick up victories. And it's not always him, but the team is rallying around this kid. Maybe they realize that if it doesn't work with him, they're going to start selling off pieces. Maybe a lot of them don't want to move. But Football Giants, got to kind of watch them. They're going a little bit up a run. They pick up the victory there, and more importantly, that's in division. The Chargers were able to beat the Dolphins 30-10. The power flickered here. That's kind of interesting. But we're still on, so we'll keep going. The Chargers get a much-needed momentum swing. They just have been slow out of the gates this year. No pun intended. And it was good for them to really rally and get something good going like that. And one of the surprises of the day, the Oakland Raiders won on the road in Indy 31-24. The thing to take away from this, I wish I could, tell you, I could lead with, how great the Raiders were, which they were. But the biggest story of this one is a hit by Vontaze Burfict. Stop me when you've heard this. On a defenseless player, it was Jack Doyle. And it ultimately, Jack Doyle is okay. But it ultimately led to Vontaze Burfict getting a basically season-long suspension. It's a 12-game suspension the rest of this year. He actually found out once he got to London. He flew with the team to London, found out, and I would imagine flew back because he is not allowed near the team during suspension, so he can't be at least at the facilities. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. This is his 13th violation, I believe. Yeah, there's no need for that type of play, and he clearly had intent. So, still want to say kudos to the Raiders, but yeah, get that guy off your team. He was good before. He seemed like he had kind of turned over a new leaf, and then now no. Let's see, Carolina 16-10 over Houston. This Carolina defense, they may be a little more to it. They kept Houston to just the 10 points, and that's the main thing I have about it is the Panthers' defense hold wide. Yeah, Watson didn't quite get out of the gates the way people thought he would. And, turns out, Kyle Allen, I think, is who's starting for Carolina. Turns out he's not too shabby either. So, it's something the Falcons are looking at that I've said before. You got Tampa Bay who's on an upswing out of nowhere. You got Carolina who's on an upswing after a quarterback change. And now you have the Saints that are back on an upswing. Yeah, you're looking at fourth place. You're looking at fourth place there, Falcon fans. But next game I had going, Kansas City 34, Detroit 30. It was a late touchdown push by the Chiefs. Mahomes actually did not account for any touchdowns, yet they won big. It just shows you the way their team is built and the way things work. And Detroit had a chance late, but they couldn't hold off the 2-yard run from right there at the goal line. But this shows that Detroit is maybe turning it around just a little bit. Next up, New England 16, Buffalo 10. Yep, I said that right. 16-10. Not the world's biggest score, but they get the job done. They actually knocked Josh Allen from the game, and they outlasted the late charge by Buffalo, who didn't do too shabby with a backup quarterback. Next up, Baltimore 25, Cleveland 40. Yeah, a 40 burger hung on the Baltimore defense. Ouch. Basically, the Browns stifled the Baltimore offense and defense and just dominated. Just dominated. It gives them a confidence boost, and we'll see what happens from there. Maybe they're going to be on an upswing again. Because they got all the talent in the world. They just got to put it together. Tampa Bay 55, Los Angeles Rams 40. This was a fun game to watch as well. The Bucks just keep the Rams at a distance with timely big plays and showed everybody that they can hang 55 on a good team. Ouch. It's one of the things I just said, where they're on an upswing. The Saints are on an upswing, and Carolina's on an upswing. Seattle 27, Arizona 10. This is kind of a foregone conclusion there. We kind of knew that might happen. Wilson just makes so many underrated plays. I know I talk about it on here. Other people talk about it on their shows. But, folks, Russell Wilson does things you can't teach and you don't see other places. He has held this team up a lot over the years. And now that he's getting a couple pieces around him, if they will be smart enough to put Chris Carson back in. Then I really think they are poised to make a solid run. Jacksonville 26, Denver 24. That was a last minute drive and the field goal propel another Duval win. The legend of Gardner Minshew continues to grow. The kid is something special. You know. Then again, Tim Tebow won a lot of games too, but this guy's definitely better than Tebow. And Denver showing that they can actually put up points, that was something. Flacco actually looked pretty good. Might be the best he's looked in years. We got Minnesota 6, Chicago 16. Good luck if you're trying to run or make any progress on this Bears defense, because God help you. They just made Cousins look pedestrian. Now, he does a pretty good job on his own sometimes, but yeah, he had no shot here. This defense is just amazing. Dallas 10, New Orleans 12. That was a Sunday night game. Exciting game to be such a low-scoring game. There was really good drives and then turnovers. Really good drives and then turnovers. Really good drives and, you know, punts. And it come down to Bridgewater making a play when he needed to. And they get the victory. Once again, this is going to be another... This is going to be another tiebreaker down the road where New Orleans now holds one over Dallas. And then the Monday night game. Cincinnati 3, Pittsburgh 27. Pittsburgh gets to go against Cincinnati so that they get a chance to build up and show people that they're not slouches. Which they're not. And that, are they fully back? No. Check down Mason Rudolph. He threw it down the field a couple times, but yeah. He's gonna, as everything opens up for him, he's gonna do a lot better. But for now, yeah, it's they're gonna have to expand that a lot more if they think they're gonna do anything. But they get the victory there. They get the first victory that puts Cincinnati at 0-4 rather. They're now at like 1-4, 1-3, and. You know, Pittsburgh's not completely out of it yet. Cincinnati, they knew they were. You know, let's go into the picks, because like I said, I want to finish with talking some Falcons. The picks last week, of course, our guest picker was Akeel Coleman, Cowboys superfan. Enthusiast. If you will, He was able to actually edge me out by a game, and it was just one game. And it was the New England Buffalo game, which we'll get to in a minute. We both picked Tennessee over Atlanta. That was a win. We both picked Baltimore over Cleveland. Whoops. And we both picked Dallas over New Orleans. Whoops. So at that point, we're both 1-2. He took New England. I took Buffalo. We all know I just told you New England won that. So congratulations to Keel Coleman. At 2-2 and me at 1-3, you won last week's picks. And that means that so far this year, I've had, out of the 3 weeks we've done it, we've had two of you guys who have defeated me on picks, and one who tied me. This week, I think you guys are gonna get, a kick out of this one, because making, I can't say debut on the show. They have been actually appeared on a sports club before, but making the guest picks this week is my illustrious wife, Rosemary. And I told her, I gave her the option. She's a Chicago fan. I gave her the option of picking that game. She said yes. We'll get to that one in a second. And also, I told her we were going to pick the Falcons game, which she said was ridiculously easy. Now, casual fan, big Bears fan, but casual fan. She has a lot of family in Chicago. They're all Chicago fans. That's really great. So, let's get into those two games I just said. First of all, we were going to pick Green Bay at Dallas. Was going to be one of them. To which she said this. Since she's a Chicago fan, she's not allowed to pick Green Bay. And she equally dislikes Dallas for a handful of reasons. One of which is the fact that I am a Dallas fan. Fair enough. She actually said she hoped it snows and the game gets canceled. Told her it's in Dallas, there's chances in a dome. She said, well, power outage. Something where nobody gets hurt but the game doesn't get played. Okay. And she said it's ridiculous how much the players get paid. They should donate their salaries to charity. Okay, I see that. I can't argue with that. But here's games that we actually picked. Chicago at Oakland. We actually both picked Chicago in this one. I like the point she made. She said Khalil Mack is a star. He should actually donate to a kids' charity like the Ronald McDonald House. Khalil, if you're listening, I'm sure among all the other things you do, thanks for everything you do actually do, and on and off the field. And if you are so inclined, I guess that's a good one. And she said that nothing good comes from Oakland except her Aunt Mary Rose. Shout out Aunt Mary Rose. I'm a big fan of hers as well. And property values. So, none personal, Oakland, but apparently my wife's not a fan. And she's been there. So, she picked Chicago. I picked Chicago, as I said. I just think that as long as Chase Daniel starts, this team is going to be real, real tough to beat. So we both took Chicago in that one, and I'm going to go, she actually picked every game. I'm going to go with the four that we did. Told you about the one we didn't, and then I'll tell you the other ones as well. And maybe I'll post these up later. The other one I said, Atlanta at Houston. We are both on the Houston side. And here's why she said she picked Houston. Atlanta has a bad track record. And Matt Ryan has not shown he's worth the money. I think Falcons fans would it's hard to argue there. Basically, I paraphrase that J.J. Watt is going to ball out. He's going to have a big game. Very possible the way the offensive line looks for the Falcons. Atlanta is not cohesive, including shape and the size of players. That's what she noticed, is that everybody on Houston has a particular build and a particular look, where Atlanta is just a mismatch of all kinds of different things. I said there are strategies to both, but she said, yeah, just in looking at them, just in looking up the players and such like that, she felt like that could be why they're not as cohesive. So I go, okay. And she said, Houston is big and muscular. They look like a bunch of big and muscular fellas who communicate well. That's something Bill O'Brien stresses. And if you look at Atlanta, it looks like they don't necessarily communicate very well at all. So there's that. So we both had Houston in that one. Next game that we are picking. Jacksonville at Carolina. I took Jacksonville. She took Carolina. Here's why. She says Christian McCaffrey is a great player. Nope. No argument. And Carolina is in the South. I said, well, Jacksonville is too. And she said, well, Florida doesn't count. It's a different thing all to itself. Now, okay. She said, by looking at the players again, she said Jacksonville is a lot of scrawny guys as opposed to Carolina, who has a lot of bigger guys. Okay, could be something to that. Could get pushed around a little bit. She actually said they're scrawny and maybe need to visit a gym and eat some southern food. So she said, actually, you know, even though I've been to Jacksonville, she's been to Jacksonville, we've eaten the food at Jacksonville. You guys have great food in Jacksonville. She's saying maybe a little more mashed potatoes and a little less sushi, even though I like both. In fact, sushi and mashed potatoes, that may be on something right there. But, yeah, that's the way that went there. Like I said, she said Carolina because she thought they were better equipped, bigger guys that could push around the scrawny guys. I'm taking Jacksonville because I am first team all Gardner Minshew. I've always liked a lot of things that Jacksonville's doing. I think they are finally putting things together. And I don't know about a big run, but I think they're going to win this game. And then the last game is the one that's going to happen in a couple minutes. Probably by the time a lot of you guys listen to this, the game will have already happened or will be in the process of happening. So, you know, that way you'll know. It is before this game starts. And it is the Los Angeles Rams traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. She took the Seahawks. Here's what she says. Based on team photos, Russell Wilson and Michael Kendricks have a better look than any of the Rams players. Okay. Basically, that the Rams in general are not as attractive looking in their team photos as Seattle. Fair enough. You pick for whatever reason. And she said actually she knew that the Seattle playing at home meant a big difference because she knows she couldn't remember Kansas City, but she knew that there was another place, and I told her Kansas City and Seattle. She goes, yeah, those were the two loudest places, environments to play in. I said, absolutely. So she said she's picking Seattle because she thinks they look more, not really like winners, they look more attractive, and they seem to be better athletes in Seattle, and they're playing at home where the 12s are, basically. And I said, okay. She actually doesn't know my picks, so I'm taking the Rams in Seattle. Besides the more attractive thing, I do like the athleticism, I guess the word I'm using, of Seattle a lot. And you can't discount Russell Wilson because, like I said, he just does the most crazy. You would never think he can pull off some of the things he does. And I do like a lot of things Seattle does, including Chris Carson and others. But Jared Goff and the Rams are definitely looking to pick up the victory here and knock Seattle down a peg. So, in review, we both took Chicago over Oakland. We both took Houston over Atlanta. She took Seattle at home. I took the Rams on the road. And I took Jacksonville on the road. She took Carolina at home. we'll see how those go. You just, you never know how those things are going to go. And like I said, she did pick all the games, so we'll go through those too. And like I said, maybe I'll post up our picks side by side. She said take the New York Giants over Minnesota. I agree. She said take Washington over New England. She says at some point they're due. I agree that at some point something like that could happen, but give me the New England Patriots. She said take Philly over the Jets. That's a no-brainer. Take New Orleans over Tampa Bay. Give me the Red Hot Bucks, because these aren't part of our contest, but give me the Red Hot Bucks over New Orleans. I think New Orleans is banged up after the Dallas game. She said take Tennessee over Buffalo. 100% agreement. Arizona over Cincinnati. Yeah, why not? One of them's got to win. I think they're more put together than Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's got some fun pieces that in the next couple years, it's really going to be good. She said take Baltimore over Pittsburgh. Agree. Denver over the Chargers. Give me the Chargers. Kansas City over Indianapolis. Give me Indy. And San Francisco over Cleveland. I agree. San Francisco is going to continue to be... They're going to continue to be undefeated, the only undefeated team in the NFC. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. And once again, we always would like guest pickers. We want you guys to be a part of the show. So if you want to pick against me in the next coming weeks, just simply drop us a message. Let us know. We'd love to have you guys on. We can have multiple people in a week. There's no problems there either. You go head-to-head, and it should be a lot of fun. But lastly, let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons game. And part of why it's called Horseshoes and Hand Grenades tonight is because the word almost or close applies to the Atlanta Falcons. They almost, and then it just falls apart. And I do have some reasons why I think this happened, but let's talk about the game real quick. They lost 24-10 to Tennessee. The Titans had answers across the board for whatever the Falcons came up with. It's not because they had a vanilla defense or offense. No, they were running decent schemes, good schemes. The play call for Atlanta was just a little bit off, and the execution was that much further off. The defense, especially the secondary, had issues closing in on the ball carriers. If runners were coming up, got to the defensive backs, they had nothing for them. And especially if the ball was thrown out that way, they were not able to close in on it. Of course, this brings up a couple quick questions. Questions. For one, is it time for a new coach or GM? I think so. You got to look at it this way. I have liked a lot of what Dimitrov has done. I've liked a lot of what Dan Quinn's done. I think wherever Dan Quinn goes, he's going to be a good coach. I just think he's gotten this team as far as he can get them here. I think that when he decided to call the defensive plays, it takes away from him being a head coach. And in doing so, that means there's no head coach on the field for the Falcons to make those kind of decisions. He's, worrying about the defense. So, in my opinion, is it time for a new coach? Yes. Now, I said that it is it time for a new GM? Like I said, I like a lot of things that Thomas Dimitrov has done. He's been here, 12 years? Had 7 years of Mike Smith. had 5 years of Dan Quinn. In 12 years, all they really have to show for it is a couple divisions and one Super Bowl. Yeah, I think he did the best he could. I think these coaches did the best they could, but I think it's time to do a full house clean there. Not sell off players. Not in sell mode. If you want to get rid of one here or there that you were going to let walk next year, that's fine. I think Devontae Freeman is one of those. Because in talking to, Eugene Carter, who is a big Falcons fan, and a couple others earlier today, they were like, I don't understand. I said, what don't you understand? He goes, well, we'll give it to Freeman. He runs up the middle, 2 yards. We give it to Ito Smith, 7 yards. We give it to the other guy escapes me. He gets like 5 yards. Then we get back to Freeman. He gets 2. I said, well, he's an outside runner. He's not an in-between guy. They need to run him on the outside, but they're not doing that. And he said, still, it seems like every time we give it to him, it's up the middle for 2, up the middle for 2. And I said, well, that makes him the new Michael Turner. And he said, what do you mean? I said, if you remember the last year or so Michael Turner was here, as good as he was, on first down, they give it to him. Michael Turner up the middle for 2. On second down, Michael Turner up the middle for 2. On third down, Michael Turner up the middle for 2. And guess what that leaves? 4th and 4, it's a punt. And that kept happening and happening and happening. And it was a Mike Smith thing, but it just kept happening and happening and happening. And at some point, as we all know, famously on this show, I say all the time, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. That's exactly what the Falcons are doing right now. They're doing the same old stuff they've been doing for almost 12 years now. There's a couple wrinkles in schemes. There's a couple new faces. But for the most part, it's the same thing it was 10, 12 years ago. Think about this. Of all the quarterbacks they've brought in over the years, whether it was through the draft, whether it was a trade, whether they signed a guy, it doesn't matter. They only have one of any real note, and that's Matt Ryan. They've never had any competition behind him. They've never drafted a guy that they felt highly of to keep him around. They've never signed a guy. It's just all this. It's like they've just stopped trying. And because of that, I think that's why Matt plays the way he does. There's no hot seat behind him. He can't look behind him and see a Daniel Jones sitting there. He can't see an Aaron Rodgers. That made Favre do a few different things. You got to look at Brady. Outside of Garoppolo, he keeps looking behind him going, I'm not worried about any of these guys. So sometimes you don't take a risk. You don't take a shot that you should. That's what the Falcons are doing. I think Freeman's going to be on a different team next year. I think they're going to run with Ito Smith and the other guy that escapes me. And I think whoever the new coach is going to draft a quarterback that's going to develop behind Matt, whether Matt likes it or not. And, I mean, because it's going to be the right time. If they continue on the path they're on now, they're going to end up with a top 10 pick, top 8 pick. There's going to be 3 or 4 guys on the board. I hate playing fantasy land, especially don't want to do it this early in the year, but you got to look at if Tua's off the board, then you still got Justin Herbert out of Oregon. You still got Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. There's 3 or 4 other guys that are all going to be sitting there in the top 10. Falcons fans, it's somebody to put some pressure, even if he doesn't take over for a couple years. It's somebody back there. We've seen some of these other guys have come up and they've been sitting there for a couple years and did well. Some of them not, but if you're Atlanta, it's not doom and gloom time. There's a lot you can salvage from this season. But if it were me, if I were Arthur Blank, and Arthur, if you're listening, whether you value my opinion or not, thanks for listening. If I were Arthur Blank at this very moment, first of all, I would have done this Monday. But on Monday, or maybe this following Monday. If they lose this week, maybe they, or probably when they lose in Houston this week, I think you I think at some point you tell Dan Quinn, it's been nice, but the honeymoon's over. If you want to do it this early in the year and start looking for GM people as well, or if you want to keep him around long enough to let him finish out the year as far as Dimitrov, I get that. But, I think by season's end, I think there's a vacant seat in the GM spot and in the head coach spot. And for everybody who says, well, you know, I'm the number one person to go on, well, if you're going to get rid of somebody, who are you going to get? Well, for one, Raheem Morris can take over and do a capable job of being the head coach the rest of the year, so I'm not worried about that. As far as GM, that's why I said if you want to let this ride out to the end of the year, I get that because there are some duties that you don't want a brand new guy maybe necessarily stepping into, or maybe there's somebody internally you can promote. Who knows? But like I said, I'm always one to propose the thing that if you're going to get rid of somebody, tell me who you're going to get. All you people want to get rid of Matt Ryan, who are you going to get? Who's out there? And that's what I brought up to Falcons fans today. If you got rid of Mike Smith today, probably not today because the game's coming up, but if you did it Monday, Raheem Morris can step in, but who would you want to get? You think Lincoln Riley would come here? No. Do you think you don't want Rex Ryan? You don't want some of these others? You got to figure out who you want. There are some people out there, some candidates, I think, that could be really good Atlanta fits. But we're just going to have to see about all that. But that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate everybody tuning in to this week's Sports Club entitled Episode 5, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. That's because you're so close, Falcons fans. So close to it going the other direction. We'll see you guys next week. Let me see you just. Push it up, let me see you just. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.